Good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, a case will go before the US Supreme Court today that could impact hundreds of thousands of young immigrants around the country and thousands right here in Colorado. The court will decide whether the Trump administration can shut down the DACA program. That's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, a program created by President Obama to give legal status to hundreds of thousands of immigrants brought here without documentation as children. We'll hear from a local immigrant rights organizer ahead of a rally and march that's happening this evening in Longmont. We'll also hear from a local DACA recipient about what's at stake, not just for the DACA recipients, but the entire community. After that, isolation as part of domestic abuse. We'll hear from the Boulder Safe House Alliance. This is in the wake of the recent death of Monica Cianis Hernandez. She was found dead in Boulder recently, apparently killed by her husband. We'll hear how domestic abusers often isolate their victims and some of the warning signs that we need to all be aware of. We'll have the comment line take us to the bottom of the hour. Then after headlines from the BBC, it's time for science. And today on How on Earth, we'll hear about science education and the book Why Evolution Works and Creationism Fails. At 9 o'clock, it's Alan Watts rounding out this morning's news and public affairs. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. The City of Denver is recruiting members of the public to figure out its strategy to tackle the climate crisis. The city is looking for up to 24 people to work for 6 months for the new Climate Action Task Force. Megan Weber has more.
Denver Mayor Michael Hancock said the Climate Action Task Force will be charged with delivering an updated climate work plan by May 2020 to the Denver community. The plan will secure needed resources and create revenue mechanisms, the mayor's office said. The task force will meet weekly from December to February and biweekly from March through May. The task force is meant to follow last year's 80 by 50 plan, which referred to an 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. The plan's goals included 200 electric vehicles in the city of Denver by next year, powering municipal buildings with 100% renewable energy by 2020, and 16% of commuters using public transit and 17% walking or biking to work by 2030. Those interested in applying to be part of the new task force may apply by November 14th online. Interested individuals should be prepared to include information on their application about themselves and the community they represent to ensure diverse representation. For KGNU, I'm Megan Weber.
Immigrant rights activists around Colorado are speaking out in defense of the DACA program. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program created by President Obama. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments on whether the Trump administration's efforts to dismantle the program are valid. Laura Soto, a DACA recipient from Longmont, says that other DACA recipients should now take action to secure their status.
The number one thing I would like to recommend, which is something I have already done, is renew your DACA as soon as possible. Please put in a DACA renewal application with an attorney of trust. We do have an attorney that local organizations are working with who has DACA renewal scholarships so that the cost of the renewal fee would not be standing in the way for no one to renew their DACA in time. The reason why we want community members to renew their DACA is because we don't know for sure if the program might be canceled in the upcoming year. We would only know after the Supreme Court starts hearing arguments and starts making decisions. So we will have a short span of time before they come out with a decision in 2020 for DACA recipients to renew their DACA.
We'll hear more from Laura Soto later in the Morning Magazine. The City of Boulder has announced that it has hired a new transportation director. The Daily Camera reports that Carlos Hernandez has been selected for the position after more than a year when the department was being led by an interim head. A recent report by a city-hired consultant criticized a trend of senior leadership turnover, including that in the transportation department. Hernandez is a certified planner and transportation planner and University of Colorado Environmental Environmental Design Program graduate. He has a degree in city, urban and regional planning. He'll start on January 13th. In today's weather, expect sunny skies around the metro area, highs in the mid to upper 50s, similar temperatures and conditions tomorrow and Thursday. It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, as we have been reporting, a case goes before the US Supreme Court today that could impact hundreds of thousands of young immigrants. The court will decide whether the Trump administration can shut down the DACA program. That's the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program created by President Obama that's given legal status to hundreds of thousands of immigrants brought here without documentation when they were children. Alejandro Ortega is with Padres y Jóvenes Unidos. That's one of the groups that's organizing a rally in support of DACA. It's happening this evening in Longmont.
What they're going to be looking at the Supreme Court is they will be looking if Donald Trump's decision on ending the DACA program was actually lawful. So there will be 27 plus DACA recipients testifying in front of the Supreme Court, sharing their stories, how DACA actually helped them build a life and a career after they received after they became part of the program. So as an organization and just everyone on the movement, we're taking this opportunity to not make it just about DACA, but to actually bring attention to what would happen if the program actually ends and what this means to the whole immigrant community living in the United States.
Well, let's dig into that, particularly for the thousands of folks here in Colorado who availed of the DACA program, but who are now at risk, depending on what happens and what the Supreme Court decides. What is at stake and what could happen if DACA is rescinded?
So for those who actually have DACA, we don't know what the decision could be, right? Right now, the future looks blurry for all of them, but this could actually go from just losing their work permit, right? Losing also the keys that they live with in terms of not having to worry about deportation or being separated from the families. But again, this is not just about what it means for DACA recipients. It also, we know that if the Supreme Court actually sides with the right and they decide to end this program, it also means that they're giving a green light to the president, to the White House, to keep ripping families apart. And that this would not only happen now in the southern border, but it would also happen in every state of the United States.
Well, let's take it back to the beginning when DACA was initiated by President Obama, and it's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And this gave the generation that's often referred to as the Dreamers an opportunity to have a future here in the U.S. These were young people who were brought here as children through no fault of their own, no decision or action that they ever made, were being punished because of their immigration status. But DACA gave them some type of pathway to a future. So what difference has DACA made for the so many people, particularly here in Colorado? What avenues did it open up for them?
So you now actually see DACA recipients building a life with it, right? You see them from being teachers, from being doctors, even being on the news, right, being reporters. So you see how much benefit DACA has actually brought to their lives. Here in the state of Colorado, like we have, like I was mentioning, we have reporters who are DACA recipients who are now the ones who bring the news to you every morning. You have teachers who are the ones educating your kids in schools all over the state of Colorado. You have nurses, doctors, dentists who are DACA recipients, right? And sometimes you think that you don't know one, but that person can actually be sitting next to you. So DACA has bring a lot of changes for undocumented youth living in the state of Colorado and living in the United States.
I know it's also had a big impact on families because very often families can access a wide range of services or apply for a mortgage if there's one person in the household who has a social security number. And for many families, I know that has been a DACA recipient. So it's not just that individual, but a ripple effect out onto families as well.
Correct. Yeah. This has actually given the opportunity to have their family be financially stable, right? We know that a lot of foreign undocumented youth are not the ones leading the household, making sure that they have, that they bring money to put food on the table, and also just being the one to actually get a house for their families to have a better life. So DACA has not only been a help for them to get a better job, but also just to give, again, just to have their families be financially stable, have a more secure space where they can live. And again, just like taking that fear away of being deported and being ripped apart from their family.
Well, give listeners a sense of what's going to happen in Longmont on Tuesday evening.
So on Tuesday evening, youth from Longmont and organizations like Padres and Jóvenes Unidos, the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition, and Northern Colorado Immigrants United, we're getting together and we're putting a march and a vigil for our youth to bring awareness to the hearing for DACA. So we will be meeting at Roosevelt Park at 5 p.m. and then we'll be marching to the city council in Longmont. We'll be holding a program. You will hear about what's happening at the Supreme Court, the latest news, since this will be happening after the hearing, and also hearing some stories from DACA recipients to see what's at stake for them and their families. So again, this will be happening on Tuesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We will start at Roosevelt Park. We will march to the City Council of Longmont.
Now, even though Supreme Court is going to hear oral testimony on Tuesday, it doesn't mean a decision's coming anytime soon. Is there a sense of a time frame or timeline for this?
What we have heard so far is that the decision is not going to come until early 2020. So we expect it to be sometime in January or February, but all of this can change. It might also, we have also heard that it might not happen until summer 2020 when they make the final decision. So this is the reason why we're raising our voices on Tuesday to make sure that we start bringing awareness again to this case, and again, to not just only make it about DACA, but to make it clear for people that this is an opportunity for us to bring our democracy back and that we should unify, that we should unite as a community, regardless if you're affected or not by immigration. So this is the reason why our youth has made the decision of leading this march and vigil tomorrow on Tuesday after the hearing from the Supreme Court.
Alejandro Ortego, he is with Padres y Jóvenes Unidos. And the rally starts at 5 o'clock. It is this afternoon. It goes from 5 to 6 p.m. It'll start at Roosevelt Park Pavilion. That's in Longmont. And then they will march to Longmont City Council. Well, the thousands of DACA recipients in Colorado who are paying attention to what happens at the Supreme Court are also saying it's not just about them. Laura Soto, a DACA recipient from Boulder County, says that there are so many other people in the community who themselves aren't DACA recipients but are directly impacted by what's now happening.
Something very typical of DACA recipients is that we belong to mixed status families. That means we have many family members who have citizenship status because they were born in the U.S. or because they were recently naturalized as citizens. And we have other family members who are undocumented, which means they are at very high risk and they do live in isolation. And they do lack the services that they need, basic services of health and education, access to resources, because of this fear factor. So if you know a DACA recipient, know that this young person also is feeling the stress for his entire family. We have stress to provide for our children, and we're also pressured to be a support for our elders who may be undocumented. And we are kind of caught in the middle trying to be there for our family, where now we have an unsure future as to how we will help our family.
What is the community doing to support you? What are your allies doing to, in some way, help you navigate these really difficult times?
Yes, well, something I wish everyone to know is that people like me and other DACA recipients who are deeply committed to the community, as well as allies who have supported us for a very long time, we've come together to organize a debriefing session so that everyone can clearly understand what was said during the hearing, so that everyone has enough time to make a decision to apply for DACA renewals, get scholarship for the government fee on your DACA renewal, and also plan for your future with community support from here on out. We've organized an important event that's happening at CU Boulder Law School on Monday the 18th. We will have Violeta Chapin, who is the professor for the law school, and she educates immigration attorneys. She will be giving a debriefing session on the 18th at 4:30. And we are sending out flyers. This has been organized by many different organizations that support immigrants in our local community. We are also wanting for people to know that there is an existing DACA renewal fund that is led by the YMCA of Northern Colorado. And at any moment, you can donate to this DACA renewal fund. That is what we are relying on for our community members to support DACA recipients. And we're hoping to get the word out to every undocumented youth person so that they will come and find the supports they need. After the November 18th event, where we will be debriefing about the DACA hearings, we will also have ongoing events where we hope that will be ongoing community support to get undocumented youth involved, to get them the resources and mental health services they need, as well as scholarships, so that they will continue to go to school and continue to thrive in our community. So what I want everyone to know is that the community cares, and there are many organizations, like I said, who have not only been working for years trying to support undocumented students and documented youth in every way they can, but we are still here, and we still want to be available to you. We want to unite people so that everyone can have a quality of life in our local community.
For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo. Thank you so much.
And that was Laura Soto, who's a local DACA recipient, speaking there with KGNU's equity reporter Rosanna Longo. And once again, that DACA case debrief happens next Monday. That is Monday, November 18th, from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Wolf Law on the CU Boulder campus. And you can go along there if you've questions about DACA, make a DACA renewal appointment. There will be a lot of people there who will be answering questions about what is happening starting today at the Supreme Court. It is 23 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU.
Join KGNU for Cultura Viva, World Drumming and Culture Jam Workshop, followed by a live music broadcast with the Pink Hawks, Denver's Afrobeat and Chicano Hip Hop Orchestra, November 20th, 6 to 9 p.m. at Raices Brewing in Denver. This event is free and open to all ages and families, thanks to grant support from the Denver Music Advancement Fund through Denver Arts and Venues. Register today at kgnu.org.
Well, October was the National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we did a lot of coverage then. However, this is an issue that does not go away once October is over. And so we're going to continue talking about what domestic violence looks like in our community. And often it can look like isolation. That's something that's often imposed on people by abusers. In fact, it's a big part of domestic abuse, says Veronica Horn. She's with the Boulder Safe House Alliance.
Isolation is one of the principal tactics that an abuser uses. It is a way to maintain not only the power and the control, but the effect on the victim so they don't have outside voices, so that they don't talk to other people and get other perspective. So that when an abuser is what we call gaslighting, it is very effective so that a victim can't really, they start to question their own self. They start to wonder, if what they're doing or saying is not valid. So an abuser uses isolation, so there's no contact with others. So the victim starts to feel lonely, and they start to feel that they can't reach out, that they can't talk about it, and they start to feel sometimes crazy. There's a lot of psychological abuse that happens, and so the abuser is using that isolation to keep them from sharing information, potentially from seeing injuries, and also just to keep them from being able to, what we say, you know, bounce things off of other people. Like, my husband's saying this and it feels bad. Is this okay? So when someone doesn't have a support system, they can't utilize that support system to not only get help, but to really start to understand the dynamic of power and control and what's happening to them and when things are not okay. And when the abuser is minimizing things and demeaning them and blaming them, it's a very deliberate way for the victim to internalize it and to really feel a sense of unsureness, right? They question their own perspective, their own intuition. So the isolation piece is huge. And they start to fear that they will never meet somebody else because they're being told that. And their family doesn't have access. And it's a very powerful tool.
And then if you add shame,
yes.
I think it's really difficult then. So would you speak around also shame?
Yeah, shame is a key piece of domestic violence. And, you know, it's also a piece where different cultures play in quite a bit. So many cultures, you know, you don't speak about any kind of abuse. That's something that stays in the home. It doesn't get talked about. It's even accepted in some cultures that a man has sort of a domineering or domination or superior place in the family, and particularly over a wife. And I say it using those genders, but I do want to emphasize that all genders suffer from abuse. So, but the shame is a big thing because often victims feel like it's their fault. And so they're being told it's their fault and they are believing it's their fault and they're being isolated. So again, they're not being able to get somebody else's perspective. And so they feel a lot of shame. What am I doing wrong? I need to be better. I should have done this. And it's a big piece.
That's Veronica Horn. She is with the Safe House Progressive Alliance for Nonviolence, speaking there with Rosanna Longo. And at their website, there are a lot of resources available for people who are experiencing domestic violence, but also people who are concerned about others in the community who might be. And that's safehousealliance.org, safehousealliance.org. It is 8:29. It's time now for the comment line.
Hi, this is Lauren from Denver, and it's Tuesday. I think it's the 5th of November. Pardon me, I work so much, I don't know what day it is. I was calling about the show How on Earth that's going on right now, and they're talking to some author of a book named Buzz about thrill seekers and risk takers, et cetera. And while I've been listening to this, I've been wondering if the author did any research or any, you know, looking into trauma survivors and how that might relate to these behaviors. And it seemed like possibly he'd done that. I mean, I had to look at the book, but then they got on the subject of Elon Musk and Thomas Edison and CEOs and how many of them fly their own planes. And I thought of the studies that show that all these men, they're mostly men, are narcissists and psychopaths. So that just gives me pause. And it makes me think that possibly this author has not looked at trauma survivors and how they undertake risk-taking and driving motorcycles fast, et cetera, to get in that quiet place. Just food for thought, everybody. Keep your ears open and your eyes open and triple-check everything that anybody says. Bless you.
Hello, this is Dr. Frederick. I just want to let you know, it's kind of on the fence whether or not I wanted to support community radio until I started hearing banging house beats on a Sunday night. Okay, half that's a lie. I wasn't on the fence.
And that is the comment line. The number to call is 303-447-9911. And we air the comment line on Tuesday mornings.